This gentleman in particular offers tragedy on a grand scale.
Yeah, somebody like Jack Johnson and his story and his life experience is so dramatic, and it's such a tragedy, as you said, on its own, that writing about it is really more like documenting than imagining.
I think you're absolutely right. I felt that you had, I wondered what your family felt while you were writing this book, because you must have been just very immersed.
Well, my wife is a writer too, and so she understands the different ways that we can get into or get away from subject matter. But this particular book, I mean, it was difficult. I spent 2 years just researching before I wrote any of the poems, because I wanted to make sure that I knew enough about Jack Johnson's life and his time to show respect to it. I mean, I kind of felt like I needed to earn the right to write about him. When I started writing the poems, the act of writing them wasn't necessarily a challenge, his poems, but writing the poems in the voice of his wife, for example, those were very difficult, particularly when there would be issues of domestic violence involved. And so that's maybe when my family might have experienced some of the writing process for me, because I couldn't write these poems about domestic violence when my wife or daughter were in the house. It stressed me out so much to even try to imagine that.
Would you share one of those?
So Jack Johnson's wife was named Etta, and in the book she has an entire cycle of poems where she gets to have her say, and they're all broken sonnets. So this is one of them. It's called Fidelity, and it's in the voice of Etta, who is Jack Johnson's wife. Papa loves Il Trovatore, so he understood what I meant when I said di Gisello e mor pressato. He grabbed my arm like it was an engine wrench and began to twist. His face screwed up like an engine wrench. He said, I'm leaving this, and did quickly, the same way an engine unhinged from its automobile leaves everything it loves. Somehow writing about the violence inherent in boxing wasn't necessarily difficult, because it's sanctioned somehow. It's in a ring, you know, it's two men with gloves on, and they understand what they're in there for. But when that violence spilled out outside of the ring, that's when it became difficult to write about.
And then the other voices of the other women.
There are two other women who have their say in the book as well. One is named Belle, and the other one's name is Hattie. And Belle and Hattie were both prostitutes who left their professions to be Jack Johnson's mistresses. And they were both his mistresses at the same time, and also at the same time that he was married to Etta. At least there's some overlap there. That kind of lifestyle is maybe less remarkable, but they were all white. We're talking about the turn of the century. And so, I mean, it's complicated now. Interracial relationships can be a challenge in some parts of our country right now. But if you go back 100 years, it would be a whole different discussion entirely.
Not even a discussion, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it wouldn't be a discussion at all, because everyone would turn their backs on them. Like the African-American community didn't want to have anything to do with it. The white community didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so they would go to restaurants and get booed and things like that. And there were only certain hotels that would let them stay, and they always had to pay more for the hotels to let them stay there and that kind of thing. And so it was really, it's really tragic in a lot of ways, because, I mean, Jack Johnson really, you know, he loved Etta. I mean, you know, I imagined when I was writing this book that it was this kind of love story. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really about boxing, and it wasn't really about history. It was about two people that were in love, but maybe were incapable of dealing with those emotions in any kind of direct way, thanks to who they were, but also the kinds of pressures that were put on them by society. It's Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. just with race instead of different communities in Italy.
Very incendiary. Would you share those that you selected to read?
But I picked two poems that were in Jack Johnson's voice to read. And if it's okay with you, I'll just read them back to back.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is called Battle Royale. And Jack Johnson got his start boxing in these battle royales. Ralph Ellison wrote about them in The Invisible Man. They would take these young black men and blindfold them and kind of spin them around a little bit and put them in a ring together, seven or eight of them, where they would just kind of swing until they hit things. And it was this great source of amusement. And that's how Jack Johnson got started boxing, was in this kind of buffoonish way. So this is a poem about that. It's called Battle Royale. And I mentioned in the poem Sackerson, who was a bear that pops up in Shakespeare's plays. Battle Royale. Back then, they'd chain a bear in the middle of the bear garden and let the dogs loose. Iron chains around a bear's neck don't slum too much. A bear will always make short work of a dog. Shakespeare said Sackerson did it more than 20 times to dogs and wildcats alike, and since most creatures are naturally afraid of bears, there wouldn't always be much of a show in the bear garden. So the handler sometimes put the bear's eyes out or took his teeth to make the fight more sporting. I believe you need eyes more than you need teeth in a fight, but losing either makes a bear a little less mean. Once baiting was against the law, some smart somebody figured coloreds would fight just as hard if hungry enough. So they rounded up the skinniest of us, had us stripped to trousers, then blindfolded us before the fight. They turned us in hard circles a few times on the ring steps like a motor car engine before pushing us between the ropes. When the bell rang, it seemed like I got hit from eight directions. I didn't know where those punches came from, but I swung so hard my shoulder hadn't been right since, because the man said only the last darkie on his feet gets a meal. And this is a poem called Prize Fighter, which is, of course, what they called boxers back then. Prize Fighter. I love horses because they will outrun the fastest man. They are majestic, as stately as a Saturday woman before a party. Horses smell like what it means to be fast, sweat and gravel kicked up on early morning runs, the in and out of breath like gravel in tired lungs. I groomed and raced horses from Texas to Philadelphia until one broke my leg bone with a back kick. Thanks to that break, I can't ride anymore, and even if I could, we got these automobiles now, and they can carry us a mile a minute. I'm buying the fastest one of those things I can find when I get my money together. I'm like an automobile in the ring. My fists work like cranked-up engines. I've got the kind of elasticity other fighters dream about after I put them to sleep on the canvas. When I clinch a man, it's like being swaddled in forgiveness. When I hook a man, it's like being hit by frustration. I can't tell if horses are happy or confounded by this new means of locomotion, but I can say with certainty my prize-fighting cohorts are decidedly dissatisfied by my presence.